icon. There we go. All right. Give me a second here. Right here. Put that there. All right. So I was excited because I wanted to engage with this new style that we've been trying out over the past couple of weeks. So you have to bear with me. So I have a topic that I'm really excited about. The topic of my sermon today is worship, surprise, surprise, versus evangelism. All right. And the question that I'm asking is, what is more important, worship or evangelism? This was a question that I was asked in my last semester classes before I graduated. I had this class on worship. I said, okay, one of the first topics, what is more important, worship or evangelism? And it was just a minor assignment. It was one of our discussion boards, so we had to basically put our response in, and then we had to respond to two people based on what they said. And I hate questions like this. I hate questions like, what is more important between worship and evangelism? Because you can't say that one of them is not important. And they're obviously both important, so how can I say they're, one is more important than the other? I like questions where I can kind of ride the line and say, well, they're both important. They both complement each other and this and that. But the teacher specifically said, you can't say they're both important. You have to pick one. So now I do have an answer. I do have an answer to this question. But I'm not going to tell you just yet. I got to save that for the end because I got to grab you. And you guys got to be wanting that answer to the question. And it might surprise you. It might surprise you. Now, the class we had, it was a worship class, so there were a bunch of people that said, okay, well, worship is more important. There were a couple, like five or six people that said evangelism is more important. But before I kind of get into that, I want to take a poll. I want to see what you guys think. All right, so how I'm going to do this, all right, because I don't want you looking at the person in the front of you and saying, oh, well, they voted on that, and they're smart, so I'm going to pick the same thing that they picked. So we're going to close our eyes, and we're going to raise our hand for whichever one you guys think. So close your eyes, and if you think evangelism is more important, raise your hand. Okay. And keep your eyes closed. And if you think worship is more important, raise your hand. Hey, you can't raise your hand twice. Okay. Of the people that I saw raise their hand, you can open your eyes. It was a 15-17. Almost a draw. Almost dead even. All right. So we're going to go alphabetical here, so I'm going to go into evangelism first. So this, I'm going to present arguments for both, and then I'll kind of wrap it up at the end. So what is evangelism? To see evangelism is more important, we need to explore, we need to understand what evangelism is. So the dictionary defines evangelism as the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness, or zealous advocacy for a cause, as a more general term. I don't think this definition's that bad. It's a decent definition, but I think it needs rounded out a little bit for our purposes within the church and what we're talking about here. So I wanted to explore the Greek a little bit, which is also kind of new to me. I've never explored the Greek roots of words within a sermon. So bear with me. So the Greek word that evangelism comes from is euangelion, and I know I'm mispronouncing it, but the word euangelion means good news. So the word that we get evangelism from means good news. This is the same word that we translate to gospel. So this word, within the biblical context, is very, very commonly paired with the Greek word charison, which means to preach or to proclaim. So when we are evangelizing, we are preaching and proclaiming the gospel. We are preaching the good news in evangelism. And there are a bunch of ways to do this, which I'll get into in a second. But the passage that I feel supports the argument for evangelism is found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now, there are a bunch of verses on evangelism. You know, there's several verses in the Bible that support evangelism. This is a command directly from Christ to make disciples of all nations. So I felt like it was one of the strongest. So the argument here is Christ is our example as Christians. We are to be like Christ, to the best of our ability through prayer, through the filling of the Holy Spirit, and everything that we do. And because of that, of his greatest commandments that he gave us, you know, before his ascension, was to make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything that Christ taught us. So it would go to stand to show that evangelism is extremely important, if not the most important thing that we can do. Evangelism, something that Christ said that we are supposed to do, is among the most important. Now, here at Agape, we say evangelism is bringing someone one step closer to Christ. That's what we determined when we took the that church test thing. I don't remember the name of it. The natural church development. I think that also fits within this broad definition that we made here. Because when we evangelize, we're not just... I like how it said, preach and proclaim. We're not just preaching. We're not just going out to people and saying, Christ is arisen. He's the way to salvation. We evangelize through not only our words, but the things that we do, the kindness that we show people, the love that we have for the for the people of the world. You know, people see that, and that is also our work of evangelism. That is also showing that love of Christ. And that's bringing someone one step closer to Christ, I believe. And hopefully, every time we evangelize, we're succeeding in that, of bringing someone one step closer to our God and closer to Christ, so long as we're not getting in the way. So that's kind of a skimming of evangelism. So for evangelism, we have one step closer. I have terrible handwriting. What are some things that you guys think of when you think of evangelism?
Billy Graham,
okay. Something else. I need interaction here, or else it's going to be a really short sermon. Salvation.
Relationship.
Awesome. Obedience. Love it. Being the light. Love? Absolutely. Not just words in it, but action. All right, words and action. All right, so that's a good base list. All right, one more.
Worshiping God.
Okay. I heard one more, and I'm getting like five now. All right. So, now what is worship? All right. What is worship? So, the dictionary, and you'll have to forgive the dictionary here. The dictionary defines worship as the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. I don't care too much for this definition. I feel like this is a lot weaker of a definition than what the dictionary had for evangelism. And I say dictionary because all I did was definition of in Google, and then I put the word, and I used the Google dictionary. So it's not Webster's definition or anything like that. It might be, I don't know. But this definition doesn't really encompass what I feel worship really is. So we're going to take a look at the Greek again. So the word that I found that's most often translated to worship in the Greek is the word sabomahi, which it's also translated to the words reverence, worship, or adore. Within the biblical context, it's used to represent holding something, someone, or God in high respect and showing reverence and awe. So, a lot of you are here for my last sermon, but just a brief overview. The title was The Purpose of Man, and then parenthesis, Designed to Worship. So, my belief is that it is man, God created mankind as worshipers of him. In every aspect of our being, he designed us to worship him with everything that we had in us. And we do that through our obedience to him, through holding him at a high place in our life. We do that through our musical worship, but one thing that I try to hit on, and nothing in here mentions music. And I think that's something that we a lot of times solely put with worship. We say worship is music, but listening to a sermon is just as much worship as singing a song. Evangelizing is just as much worship as singing a song, any of that. But if we are revering God and holding him in high respect, then we are respecting his intentions in creating us. And the passage that I feel describes that is for the argument of worship being more important is found in Mark 12:30-31. And this was after Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, where he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There are no greater commandments than these." So the argument for worship would go like this. God created mankind to worship him. He designed worshipers in creation. Even Christ here is saying there is no greater commandment than this. And if this is worship, if we're saying that this is worship, which this was my key verse for that sermon, and saying that we are designed as worshipers, and I mean, this is what worship looks like, is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. So if this is worship, then there is no greater command than worship, including the command to evangelize. Now, I want us, before, I'm about to give you my answer, what I answered this. But before I do that, I want us, I lost the marker. Oh, there it is. I'll do a different color. What are some words that you guys think of?
Endurance.
Obedience.
Adoration.
I heard an S word.
Service.
Purpose. God-centered. Marriage, okay. Relationship. Community. All right, I need one more. Awe. Okay. Fine. All right. So which one do you guys think I chose? You guys think I chose worship? Who thinks I chose worship? Who thinks I chose evangelism? You're all wrong. I didn't read the assignment all the way, and I got a 70 on it because I picked both. I picked both, so I didn't get a good grade. But, I stick by my answer. I stick by it. I may have missed the entire point of the assignment when he gave it, but there was a purpose for it. Because how many of these words, one, did we put down twice? And how many of these words can be exchanged with each other? Every single one. You cannot have worship without evangelism. You cannot have evangelism without worship. If worship is complete reverence for the Word of God, for God himself, and obedience to God, and God commands us to evangelize, he commands us to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, then we cannot be worshiping him unless we are doing that, unless we are wholeheartedly engaged in what God has for us. We need to be doing that. I'm not saying that every single one of us needs to go out and start talking to people. I mean, we said that when we were trying to figure out what evangelism means for us here. It's bringing someone one step closer to Christ. So how do we do that? We show the love of Christ. Some of us are really good at talking to other people, and we do that. I know Bill, he goes out and he talks to people, you know, and that's his thing. You know, and that's awesome. I can't, you know, I'm more of an introvert myself, and I have a hard time trying to spark up a conversation with someone. So that's harder for me. But, you know, I'm more than happy to put in hard work and be kind to someone, and you know, then if they ask me, well, what do you believe, then I can say this, and it gives a reason to my kindness, and it gives a reason to the love that I'm showing them. There are so many different ways that we can evangelize, and it's likewise for the converse. If we are evangelizing and we're going out to people, but we're not doing it with God behind us, and we're not doing it because we're loving our neighbor as ourselves, and because we're seeking to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we might as well not even be doing it. If we're evangelizing without worship, it's not evangelism. It's just ourself being, I don't know. I don't even know what it is. I don't even know if it's possible. But worship and evangelism cannot be separated. They are two sides of the exact same coin, to quote a cliche there. You cannot have one without the other. If we are evangelizing, then we are worshiping. And if we are worshiping, we will surely be evangelizing. Worship and evangelism. I'm going to circle or a rounded square all of this. Yeah, okay. No, that's fine. He was an evangelist and he worshiped. I'm sure he is. Well, I want us to pray on this for a second, and then I'll open it up to a little more discussion. We can talk about it a little bit. But God, we bless you. Lord, we ask that you lead us into all truth. Lead us into your truth. And God, we just ask that you guide and direct us into how you want us to interact with others and how you want to be worshiped. Lord, I just ask that you throw away all of our preconceived notions of what worship and evangelism are supposed to be. Notions that evangelism is strictly going up to people and, you know, hitting them with a Bible, and that worship is just singing, Lord. I just pray that you give us a true knowledge and a true heart for you. Lord, guide and direct us into how you want us to interact with others and how you want us to interact with you, God. Show us how to truly love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord, and show us how to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, God. We thank you for all the kindness that you've shown us, and in spite of our ignorance to these things, Lord, we thank you for never giving up on us and constantly guiding us and bringing us back to what is true. So, Lord, I pray that this isn't something that we forget in a day, but that we can remember this. In your holy name, amen. One thing that I wanted to hit on before I open up into discussion, and because I was kind of off my notes there, so I forgot to touch on it, but it's just as potent now as it would have been when I was going to say it. But I'm not, with this stuff, none of these things can be an event. None of this can be something that we go out and do once and then return to something other than this. I mean, I guess Billy Graham wouldn't fit into that, so, because we can't be Billy Graham, because he's a person. But none of this is an event. This is a lifestyle. This is something that God calls us into, all of this. I mean, this is what we are called to live. We are called to a purpose. We are called to love. We are called to adore God. We are called to salvation, and we are called to be the light. We are called to these things. This is something that we need to be living, like every single day with every breath. This isn't, like I said, this isn't a moment where we're centering God for a moment and we're in awe of him for a moment when we're evangelizing or when we're worshiping. When we're singing a song, we're in awe of him, and then we sit down after the songs and we're not in awe of him anymore and we're just in listening mode. I mean, this is all completely about loving God and loving our neighbor here. So, that's the piece that I forgot. So, I'll open it to questions and comments now. Yeah. I know I opened it up for a discussion in the middle of it too, so I forgive you if you don't have a whole lot to say now. Yeah, our worship is, I mean, and I mentioned the last sermon that I said, and I mentioned it here, is that our worship, our greatest worship, is our obedience to the will of God, and that includes the moving of the Spirit of God. As God guides and directs our will, if we allow him, he's going to guide us into obedience, and that includes the people that we interact with and being obedient to who he calls us to talk to, even if it's uncomfortable, or who he calls us to show love to that we might not want to. So absolutely. Yeah. It all goes into the lifestyle of it. Is, you know, we need to be living this life, you know, and it's not wrong to be discouraged, and, you know, if we face a discouraging moment or any of that, but if, you know, if we're going around saying, well, why would they want what I have? You know, there's we're not loving our neighbor in that. So, yeah, I agree, and I have to do it too. You know, I think a lot of times with there are just certain people that we have a hard time interacting with, and we get this preconceived thought that, well, they're not going to respond to what we have to say anyways, so let's just, I'll bypass them and go to the next person. But yeah, we need to have an attitude check. We need to constantly be examining ourselves and I mean, thinking, how would Christ interact with this person? He wouldn't just, well, this person's not going to be saved anyway, so I'm going to move on to the next person. Every single one of us. I mean, Dale said it in his last sermon that, you know, Christ left the 99 to go for the one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only are they two sides of the same coin, but they're also causal. So they cause each other as well. They lead to each other. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's something that we don't think about a lot. Because, yeah, we're acting as a parent in the way that God designed. And, you know, before a child knows, they don't know. They can't know what they don't know. So it's up to us as parents to evangelize to the children. Absolutely. All right, I saw Tim's hand first. I didn't want to do a Venn diagram because I didn't want you guys to get my joke about me not doing good on the test, which wasn't. I mean, I actually didn't do good on that assignment, so it wasn't. Now we love is different for different people that we interact with. It can't be the same. I mean, love has a bunch of different forms in how it's portrayed. And you don't love everybody in the same exact way. It's just like us, because all of us are reached out in different ways. Reached out to. So. How do they have words to say to them without having the relationship with God of worship?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You wouldn't have worshipers without, you know, you wouldn't be worshiping if they didn't evangelize. So it's, like I said, it makes full circle, and you can't separate the two. You absolutely can't separate the two and their importance. Do I have any other comments or questions? No. No, I'm not necessarily. I mean, I'll take more, but otherwise, I'm. Absolutely, doing it for the glory of God. All right, well, I'll close in another short prayer, and we'll have the worship team come up. So, God, we thank you for giving us hearts of worship and hearts after you, Lord. Again, I just pray that you allow us to bless you with the voices that you've given us, with the hearts that you've given us, and enable us to reach out to a lost world that needs saved. God, we thank you and we glorify you in your holy name. Amen.